did see the audience before you came in, and I do hope that this story resonates. My story is a coming-of-age story, and I think when people hear that, they think, oh, she's going to tell us some steamy, you know, romance story from her teenage years or you know, finding her sexuality. And actually, my coming-of-age story happens when I was 50. So this was coming into my 50th year in a very different part of life, not quite so steamy for those of you who were there. But many of us, when we turn 50, we think we need to do something on a bucket list, right? We're going to make this check mark. It's going to make us feel young and relevant, and we're, you know, going to take a look away at that little sting that maybe we're getting, you know, to the later part of this life that we've been living in. So I didn't have to go looking, thankfully, too far for my bucket list item. I had a really good friend who does these bike trips to Slovenia. She puts together, and she wanted to do one just for close friends, and she asked if I'd like to be a part of the group, and I was like, yes, I've been looking for this great opportunity to celebrate, you know, being 50, and it was with an I knew, and so we decided, it was 2019, we decided we would put together this trip and go in the fall of 2020. I probably don't need to tell you what happened next. So 2020 comes, and obviously the pandemic is sweeping across the globe, and there's no opportunity for us to travel. So we're very hopeful we'll get, we're like, okay, 2021, we'll go in 2021. So 2021 comes, and again, travel is happening in places, but restrictions are still really pretty severe in Slovenia in particular. And so even if we were to attempt the trip, we knew we probably wouldn't be able to take the kind of trip we wanted. We'd be restricted from certain things. So we said, okay, one more year, 2022, for sure, we're going. So welcome 2022. And it's at this point in my own life that a very different type of journey is evolving for me, and it's this is not a journey that was on my bucket list. It is not a journey that I sought, was seeking. It wasn't a journey that that was in any way welcoming at the time that it arrived, but there it was. And that was a journey to finally confront and deal with some childhood trauma that had been plaguing me for those 50 years. And at this point, I just want to take a break, because trauma can be super triggering for people, and if you feel, I will tell you, I'm not going to give you any personal information about the trauma experience itself. But if you feel like that is triggering for you, this is a supportive space, and I absolutely want to encourage you to go ahead and excuse yourself. But again, there will be no personal details, so please know you're free to get up at any time. So my trauma journey started, as probably many people's does, with therapy. You know, you go and you seek a therapist, and there was a lot of healing that happened from that, but ultimately it wasn't producing the results that I wanted, and I started to just kind of do self-discovery and realize that many people with trauma in their bodies find that different kinds of sound practices, sound healing and breath work and things like that can really help to start moving the trauma through your body. And so I actually landed on a practice of Qigong, which I do to this day, and it's become kind of the basis of my trauma healing practice in life and this journey that I'm still on. And that was my reality, but it's 2022, and I've got all these friends that are still really excited about this bike trip. You know, we've been planning for 2 years, it's been put off, and they're starting to, you know, realize that this is finally the year it's going to happen. And I had to confront the reality that that wasn't the journey I was meant to take in 2022. So it was with a heavy heart that I reached out to these friends, and I told them, you know, I'm going to have to send you without me. And paralleling to that, another opportunity to fill the void, and I had a chance to say yes to a 10-day healing Qigong retreat. And so I was making preparations for that. My friends were making preparations for their trip, and eventually they left before mine. Trip was taking place in September, mine would take place in October. And as their journey progressed, and you can't help but look at social media, and I was checking out their Facebook pictures and their Instagram pictures, and it was really hard to see these beautiful, colorful pictures of this countryside that was more majestic than I even imagined, and you second guess yourself, should I not maybe have done that, would that not have also been healing? But I was committed, and my time to pack came, and they had told us to pack light and comfortable clothes to plan for temperature changes, warm days and cool nights. It would be in Santa Fe. And so I started to do that, and And that same period of time, my friends had returned, their trip had ended, and one of the dear friends on that trip came to my house, and she brought me a spark, and it came from that travels. And it was the most thoughtful, meaningful thing she could have given me, because it gave me a sense of I got to be there in some way, right? This thing that I'd given up, that I'd wanted for so long, was still going to come with me. So I tucked it into my suitcase and took it with me, and went off to Santa Fe to go on this retreat. And I arrived at the Chi Center, and it was beautiful. The grounds were, it was fall, the colors were majestic. There was a big meditation pond with all of these chairs, you know, set out so that you could just find quiet space. Our rooms were really comfortable and cozy, and I knew right away that it was going to be a place where, you know, I could just finally sink in and rest and work on this healing journey. And that's how it felt for the first 4 days. It was magical. But oddly enough, on day five, I became pretty restless, and it's all part of the healing journey, and they know this. And so on day five, they also tell you, oh, you're going to go into this 48-hour period of golden silence. And golden silence means no talking. So my mom was actually a nun, cloistered. I can't imagine how she did it. I couldn't do it for 48 hours. you're not supposed to talk in any public space, so going down to meals or back in your rooms, you know, no talking. And the focus is supposed to put the voice inside of you so that you really listen to what you have to say and you're not taking in this other information. And for someone who has had trauma in their life, it's like that idea of just your only voice being the only voice you get to hear is very, very frightening. And it was at the same time I went to my first meal with no talking, and I came back from that and normally put on my scarf in the evening, and it was not in my room. It was really surprising to me. It wasn't there. And I kind of let it go, and I said, okay, I probably just left it someplace, and I'll find it in the morning. And so I went down to breakfast, and it's golden silence. You can't really talk too much, but I tried to tell people my scarf is missing. And no one seemed to know where it was, and panic set in for me. When you are a person who has trauma, you tend to go to the worst place, and I had this complete experience of fight or flight. I had to get out of there. I had this strong sense that my scarf had been taken, I had been violated. All these feelings just bubbled up, and the only place I could go was beyond the Chi Center. There were these beautiful ancient cliffs. I'd been dropped off, so I had no car. I couldn't actually leave. So I said, I'm going there. It's Mother Nature. She supports me. I'm going. And I hiked up to these cliffs, and I just was looking for this place to rest, and I found this perfect perch. It was a beautiful slab of granite that just leaned back, and I could rest and put my feet on this little ledge, and I stayed there, and I don't even know how long I stayed there, and the clouds were going by overhead, and the landscape below was changing colors, and I just stayed there, and I supported myself against that rock, and I don't know what I was looking for, but I just knew I had to be there, and the longer I laid there, the more I came upon this realization that whole life I had gone outside of myself for safety and security. I looked for that place, you know, that was never felt inside of me. I went to the mountains, I went to my friends, I went to things, and I found security. And in that moment, for the first time in my life, all that dissolved and the safety lived in here. And I left that experience, and the safety still lives in here. The reason I'm standing here tonight, because for the first time in my life I can do something like this and feel strong enough to be able to be vulnerable and talk about this and share. And I can't say enough how much it is important to talk about trauma. Trauma is in this room. It is here now with us. It is in me, and I'm sure there are others in this room tonight who have trauma in their lives. And when we heal ourselves, we heal the world. So that is my journey. I want to share it with you tonight.